listening to The Rick Z Show. I'm your host, Rick Z. Welcome back to part two of our interview
with Donna Lewis.
You've done so many other great things, and as the 90s drew on, by 97, you were doing all sorts of stuff. For example, you had recorded a song with Richard Marx.
That's right.
It was for the soundtrack of, I believe it was Anastasia.
That was an interesting one because originally I got asked by Robert Croft to write the end song for that film, which I did, and I was very proud of it. And I went out to LA and met the producers, and they were on board and they loved it. But apparently the people that wrote the music for the whole Anastasia movie really wanted to do everything, and they wanted to have the end credit song. So it ended up okay, so they've written this song now. They feel that they want to keep it all in the family, okay? And they, how about Richard Marx and you do this song? And I think Richard and I, when we both heard the demo, it was like, oh gosh, it was so Broadway musical, modulated after every verse and chorus. And we both thought, oh, help. I don't really want to have to do it. So Richard rewrote, I think he recrafted it. He wrote, I think he added a bridge to it. And he made it sound a lot better. And I said, I'm only going to do it. And I wasn't being a diva or anything, because Atlantic said they really wanted me to do this. I said, well, it would be great if you get Trevor Horn to produce it. And it was so funny because I don't think he wanted to do it either.
Nobody wanted to do the song.
And then they offered him a lot of money to do it.
There you go.
So I flew out to LA to meet him at his home, and we recorded it out there. And again, it's so fascinating because Trevor is incredible. First of all, I've done a bunch of things with him over the years, and he's an amazing talent and a great guy. And he likes to go down every avenue with a song to figure out the best, the way this song is going to be. And so we started working on it with a bunch of people, and I was thinking, oh my God, this is so exciting. He's making this kind of a cheesy Broadway song. Sorry guys, but that's what it was like in the beginning. Into something incredible, and we were so excited. And we recorded this demo, and then we went out for dinner, and Trevor said, right, I'm gonna go out in the car and play it to Robert and see what he thinks. And he came in, and we're thinking, oh my God, he's gonna love it. It's gonna be amazing. And he came in, he said he hated it.
Wow.
And I said, "What? Oh, why?" He said, no, he wants all the corny, typical Disney type of piano in the beginning. He wants it like that. So I feel Trevor still did an amazing job, and with Richard as well. It worked out great, but people never heard what it, I think it could have been like this incredible piece.
Will it ever be released that way?
I don't know. I was trying to find a copy of it. I had a copy on cassette at some point, and it's somewhere in my house somewhere.
That'd be great to hear.
I need to hear it again. Yes.
You know, it's not the only thing you were up to in 1997. You were bestowed with some accolades from the British Awards. Best British Female Artist, you won in 1997.
I don't think I won it, but I was nominated.
Oh, no, I thought you won it.
No,
well,
I didn't get the award, but it was nice to be nominated, and it was nice to go to the Brits.
What was that experience like? I mean, you must have seen all the big pop stars of the day there, right?
Oh, yeah, it was fun. And I'd been to, you know, the American Music Awards, the Billboard Awards, and all the other things too. But the cool thing about the Brit Awards, it's so chilled. Mm. Everybody is around, like, big tables, having a few drinks, you know what I mean? It's not like in a theater. It's just... It was very chill, very fun. Yeah, that was a great night.
I'd love to talk to you about one of your songs, Demons and Angels.
Yeah.
This is probably, I'll put this in my top three favorite Donna Lewis songs. I relate to this song. I find this concept very interesting. I might be reading into it things that are different than you meant, but to me, it speaks to the double-edged sword of creativity. On one side, you've got potentially great catharsis and ability, and then on the other side, a musician may have great darkness in the form of, I don't know, addiction or depression or whatever. It
yes.
seems like musicians have a lot of those double-edged swords. Don't take away my demons, as the song says. Don't take away my demons, because if you do, you take away my angels too. Is that what you're talking about, that double side to creativity?
Yes. And also, you know, that song was inspired by Susan Saxman's book, The Reluctant Psychic.
Mm.
You know, when you read that book, and it's all about her life. And in fact, she says that. And that's what, you know, when I met her and I said, I've written this song and I really hope you don't mind, but I wanted to use that line because don't take away my demons, you know, otherwise you'll take away my angels too. I just thought it was a brilliant line and I wanted to use it. And it's so true with her life as a musician, everything. So I'm very proud of that song. I hope we can do the rest from the book too.
Well, I would love to play that song right now if you don't mind.
Please.
It's one of my favorites, a pretty extraordinary song. This is Demons and Angels by Donna Lewis. Take a listen. Randy Newman said that when he writes songs, he writes about characters and situations. He never writes about himself. I think he said he did it one time. Do you write about Donna Lewis when you write songs?
It's a mix. It depends what I've been through in my personal life. some things just inspire the, just the way I'm feeling, the way, as I say, an experience in life, I've kind of wanted to get that out. And then sometimes it's about characters in books. I'm very fortunate. I have a great group of women friends that are totally mad as hatters, crazy personalities, but they tell me some of the stories that go on in their lives, especially now. You know, I've been a mum for like the last 17 years. I can't even believe he's 17, to be honest.
Goes by fast.
Yeah, it does. You know, they come out with things and they just inspire. Sometimes, you know, my son will go into a direction just from having a conversation about an experience that they had. So I do love writing about people. And, you know, me not all the time, but definitely some of my songs.
So you write vicariously through people sometimes.
Yes, they just, you know, and sometimes, you know, when I'm in the studio, and it's often the music that comes first for me, and I start something, and then, you know, I've written a bunch of, a few things with David Barron, and I remember with Bad, Bad Love, he sent me this piece of music, just strings, and it was so beautiful, and at that moment in time, it was during that time of these refugees coming in and being separated, you know, all these families separated. And it was so heartbreaking to watch those images on television. And as I'm listening to David's music, I'm thinking of that. And so that's how those lyrics came to be on that song. Do you see what I mean? So some things, you know, it's so random, really. But
good songwriters, I think, are good listeners and good observers of human nature. And they write basically from anything they can see around them, not just from within them, but around them.
Yes. That's perfectly put, yes.
Well, I'm trying to make up for adding that "and" in your song.
I have to remember that quote. That's perfect. And the same with I know you wanted to touch on Stones in the Riverbed, but that's another one too.
Well, we'll get to that, but I want to also point out something. While I was doing some research, I came across a great version of you playing Yesterday on the Beatles Yesterday on piano, and I thought, well, I guess for America and the rest of the world, the Beatles, of course, are huge, but somebody from Great Britain, I imagine it's just Beatlemania every day over there. I don't know. What do the Beatles mean to you?
It's just part of our history as Brits, I think. You know, we just grew up with these songs, which, I mean, they've written some of the best songs ever. So, you know, I think doing the piano bars, I was always very selective as to what songs I would cover. You know, I wasn't the normal piano bar person that would do the big sing-along piano bar covers. So I wanted to do some interesting ones. And so a few of the Beatles songs, and Yesterday is just one of those classic, beautiful songs.
It's kind of the gold standard for songwriting in a way.
Exactly. Really. Really, that's why I wanted to do that. I think it was like on a Beatles day we were celebrating, so that's why I wanted to do an acoustic version.
That's
of that.
A great version.
Yeah, thank you.
As the 90s are wrapping up, you'd released your first album on Atlantic, also Blue Planet, but then you left Atlantic and you decided to start releasing things independently. How come?
I think it was the usual, you know, story. You know, they were very excited about my second record, and we've put out the first single, and there were a lot of like political things that things were changing. Doug Morris was fired. A lot of, you know, suddenly your people start to leave. Do you know what I mean? And then it changes. And then, you know, they put out Love Him as a dance mix, which actually got to number one on the dance club charts on Billboard. I mean, it did well, really. But we just felt, I don't know, it just wasn't the same anymore. And we were chatting with my managers and we were just saying, why don't we just leave and start fresh? And so that's what we did. You know, it had all changed. All the people I knew were no longer there. So I'm trying to think what happened. You know, when I left Atlantic, and then I did a bunch of work with Trevor on various things, and some Art of Noise things, and then I went on to do my acoustic record, and just being independent.
You started out as an independent artist right at the beginning of the millennium.
That's right.
In 2000 you released Be Still. Mm-hmm. Your first independent release, and boy, is this a still record, and I mean that in the best possible way. It's a quiet record, and it makes me wonder, were you taking inventory at that point of what you had been through and where you were going, and just pause and literally be still?
Yes.
Is that what was going on?
You hit the nail on the head. I mean, you know, when you have that first record, especially that song I Love You Always Forever that did so well, and you really, my feet didn't touch the ground for like a year and a half, traveling so much, and then making Blue Planet, which was a love, and I made that in Ireland. And for it not to do as well as you hoped was kind of like a bit disappointing. And yeah, and I think Ireland was a really, a good place for me to be. It really made me think of who I was as an artist and how I started, really, which was at the piano vocal. And that's how all those songs came to be. I mean, I'd wake up, we rented this house in Howth in Dublin, and my view was Dublin Bay, and that view would change every day. You know, it's all four seasons in one day living in Ireland. And it was so spiritual living there, and so I was still. It really gave me time to sort of think about what I want to do and what's important. So that's how that whole album.
And you can hear that on the record.
I'd love to
play something off it. My personal favorite song is Sixth Sense.
Oh,
it's a
yes,
beautiful song.
Thank you.
It's very quiet. Dynamically, it's really amazing. Listen, everybody, this is Donna Lewis off her album Be Still, Sixth Sense. Listen.
You're not real, and I'm sorry. you're a nice man, and I wish, wish I, and I wish I could, I wish I could, I could purify the fountain.
It must be hard to promote an album or a single without the backing of a label. When you made In the Pink, you released the single Shout.
Yes.
How did you get that to have any airplay without the backing of a label? How do you navigate through the industry kind of on your own?
This is the tricky part, because as you say, you know, when you're used to being on a label like Atlantic, and you've got this whole machine behind you, marketing, airplay, everything. And suddenly, you know, you have this record in the pink. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We paid a radio person to promote that. We spent a lot of our own money, which didn't really do that well. I mean, and also it was a time, you know, looking back, I just had my son. I'm just trying to think, what year was that? Was that 2008 in the pink? I think it was.
Yeah, 2008.
So my son was 5. When I was pregnant, I used to think, oh yeah, I'm going to still be able to travel and tour and do all these things and have my baby under my arm. But as soon as Archie arrived, I didn't really want to go anywhere. I didn't want to leave him with anyone. I just wanted to be a mum. So I had taken a chunk of time out. And I think when In the Pink was made, we hired a few people to help us, but I wasn't doing any touring. And I wasn't, we did a, you know, I rehearsed with Jerry, and we got a band together, and we were ready to do a few things, but I probably didn't do enough to promote it. And looking back, I suppose I just expected it to do its thing, and I probably didn't do enough to promote it in a way. But also, things have started to change even then in 2008. You know what I mean?
It's priorities.
Yeah. Again, we did what we could, and then we realized, wow, you got to spend a lot of money, you know, just to get it out there. And it's just, it's hard. It's not easy. It's very different, and it's totally different now, of course. I mean, it's the whole industry has changed, and I just feel now, for me, you know, my son's almost going to college, and I've still been creating and really doing anything that I want that really inspires me, all the different kinds of music I've been doing.
That's great.
Yeah, and I just feel as long as I can put music out, and I do want to go, I mean, I'm planning to do some live stuff next year. As long as I can put music out that I love, then that's great. It's just, we'll see what we can do. You can only do your best, can't you?
One of the things that's so cool about you, Donna, is that you're always trying different things, new things, different challenges. You have all these side bands other than your solo career that you do things with. For example, Queentown, which we're going to have you and Pamela on the show for next week's show, doing a whole show on Queentown. I'm so excited about that. But that's not the only band you had. You had Llewellyn Mix. Am I saying that right?
Llewellyn Mix, that's
Llewellyn
right.
Mix. And also Shoot.
Shoot, with David Torn,
For those who don't understand that word, it's C-H-U-T-E, as in offshoot or parachute or something
that's
like
right.
that. You released an album in 2010 by Shoot. What was that all about?
It was an EP about 5 tracks, I think. Well, you know, David Torn and I met through my friend Robert Fraser. I think he introduced us, and David had a bunch of ideas, and it was when I was still living in Dublin mainly. He would send me a few musical ideas, and I'd go away and write lyrics and do the vocals and come back to him, and we put these few things out. And it was a joy for me, because you know how Torn is a crazy wizard. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
He's such an amazing talent, but also he's so diverse, and he's such an amazing writer, and I'm very proud of that stuff. We keep saying we have to re-release it and do something with it, because it's so unusual. It's a complete step in a different direction for me. I love it, you know, and so that was great for me to work with him. And we, as I said, we've done a bunch of tracks, which led then to him producing my Brand New Day records. So.
Yeah, let's talk about Brand New Day. It's an extraordinary album, if you ask me. Just the sound of it, the playing, the interpretations of all these different songs. I mean, Brand New Day, produced by David Torn. There's a great documentary on the making of this album on YouTube. I suggest you all go on and check it out. It's very interesting. Interviews with David and yourself and everyone involved in the album.
Yeah.
It's jazz. It's a jazz album. How did that turn, that particular turn to jazz, happen?
Well, actually, it was through a friend of mine, Jeff Resnick. He has always been interested in jazz and, like, the American Songbook. And he said to me at one point, I think he met David at a gig somewhere and they were discussing me, and he came up with the idea, why don't, Donna, you should just do like a kind of a jazz cover record. And so when we sat down and thought about the song, so he was the executive producer on it, and which was amazing. But you know, when David and I sat down and talked about what songs we were gonna do, I really didn't want to be seen as, oh, here's this woman that's done this pop song, now she's gonna try and do the jazz thing and do the normal standard songs. I wanted to do something a bit different. And you know, I think between us, and David picked gems of songs, you know, like Crazy and Disco King and My Mum by Chocolate Genius.
Did you arrange them, or did he arrange
them? Yes, he arranged them. We got together, we kind of worked out a little thing, and he did a rough arrangement, and then he said, and of course I know the best people to play on this record, the Bad Plus guys, and he said then we should just cut it live. So that's what we did. We came here to the clubhouse, and I think we had 2 days where we just ran through the songs and rehearsed them, and then I don't know whether we had a break of a few days, and then we came back, and then we did live takes. They're all live takes.
All live takes.
Yeah. David Torn, you know, you'll hear some of his atmospheric gorgeousness on things like Crazy, maybe even Disco King, I can't remember, My Mum. I'm very proud of that record.
Well, you have an absolutely riveting version of Walk On By.
Oh, yeah.
That caught my attention right away. And although I always pick favorites, I can't help it. I gravitate toward my favorite songs. None of those were my favorite. My favorite, I mean, I love them all, but my absolute favorite is Waters of March.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Now, who wrote that song?
I think it was Jobim.
Okay, Jobim.
Gosh, Jobim, and I'm not sure who did the lyrics, whether he did, but it was definitely him. I remember when I've played that live with musicians, I've always been, oh, my God, I'm so scared doing this song, because there's so many lyrics to remember. You know, we did it pretty fast than the original that was out there, but that's a great one. And Walk On By, actually, Jeff, who was the executive producer, his friend is Ron Afif, this great jazz guitarist who works out of New York City. And he suggested we should get Ron, you guys should just do a couple of songs together. So he came up, and literally, it was a rehearsal. We said, let's do Walk On By. And I think that day, Hal David had just passed away, and we thought, yeah, we need to do it. And it literally was, that was one take. That was the take.
That's sometimes how you get your best stuff. It's just organic.
Yeah.
It just happens. You captured a moment.
Live take, and it was, yes. It worked out amazing.
Well, it was a wonderful interpretation of the song.
Thank you.
Back to Waters of March for a second. What I love about it is it just builds and builds and builds. You get those jazz drums. They start to come in big time halfway through the song, and it's very climactic. The piano parts are cool. You kind of channeling your inner monk, I think,
yes,
at the end. And I don't mean a monk. I mean Thelonious Monk.
Yes. Well, I think Torn was instrumental in that. He, of course, Dave King is an incredible drummer. And I think when we were rehearsing that, Torn was saying, let's get it so it's so crazy at the end, where, you know, that was one of the one songs that was tricky to find a way forward, because we started to rehearse that and weren't really sure which way to go with it. And then David said to me, I think you should just, I don't know if it was Ethan or David, but they said, Donna, I think you should just sing it and we're going to follow you. So you just do it in your own time and we're just going to be with you. And so that's how it starts. It starts like pretty slow and they're with me. And then as they get more and more chaotic, I'm just trying to like race along and be there. And I know in the mix, David was saying, let's get it to sound like it's just this frenzy at the end. And yeah, you're really battling to stay on top of it. And then it just ends. Yeah, it turned out really
But your voicings
great.
Are so jazz. I mean, they're very authentic. It made me wonder if you were influenced by, I don't know, any of those old classic stride piano players like James B. Johnson or Willie the Lion Smith, Fats, those guys.
You know, I mean, you know, I wasn't playing the piano on that. Yeah.
Well, you weren't playing the piano on that track.
I know.
But you play piano on that album.
Only on, I'm just trying to think. You know, I didn't play any piano on that record.
Why
that was
is that?
Ethan Iverson. Because what we decided to do, even with I Love You Always Forever and Brand New Day and Sleep, which were my songs, I think because we got the three of them in together, they were so used to playing together,
okay,
the trio, it was just like perfect just to leave them do their thing. So, yes, it was Ethan on piano, Reed on bass, and Dave King on drums.
Well, I understand that tightness.
Yes.
And that experience that they had together, you wanted that to be part of the record.
Yes.
But you could have done it. I mean, I've seen stuff that you played on YouTube. So I saw a lot of stuff that you put out
Maybe.
That are just acoustic, and you're a jamming piano player. Playing gospel. I think it sounds great. I think you could have done it.
In a Donna Lewis way, but thank you. Thank you.
Well, we like the Donna Lewis way. I would love to play Waters of March if we could, because it's such an extraordinary sound.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a great song. And as I said earlier, I was a little bit afraid of that one. But once they let me just do it in my own way and my own pace, and this is the first experience I ever had playing with these jazz dudes where I'm thinking, wow, they're just with me and then they're inspiring me to try things. You know what I mean?
Singing just fits in with them like it was meant to be. I mean, it's got a very sultry, very smoky feel. It reminds me of like Mose Allison, like a Mose
right,
Allison record.
Right, yeah. I remember when I worked with Trevor Horn and we did a version of The Girl from Ipanema together, and he said, you sound like her a little bit. It's almost like, it was funny, you said, it was almost like she used to sing in almost like an out of tune kind of way, but it was in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like Mose Allison.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, I just tried to be, you know, it was a little intimidating on the first day coming in here with these guys. I've never done, you know, a jazz record like this. And David said, you know, the beauty of jazz, he said, just try anything you want. You know, you just go with the flow. And I think once I relaxed into it, and just sang in a very natural, it was just very natural for me. And I think it works with the songs that we chose.
Well, it sounds like you're all close friends that have been together for a long time playing. So,
oh, that's great.
It's nice to hear the behind the scenes stuff. But as a listener, you'd never know it. You'd never know that stuff.
Thank you.
Let's play The Waters of March off A Brand New Day. This is Donna Lewis. Take a listen.
A stick, a stone, is the end of the road. It's the rest of a stone, it's so little alone. It's a sliver of glass, it is life, it's the sun. It is night, it is death, it's a trap, it's a gun. The oak when it blooms, a fox in the brush, a night in the wood, the song of a thrush, the wood of the wind, a cliff of fog, a scratch, a lump, it is nothing at all, it's the wind blowing free. at the slope. It's a beam, it's a void. There's a hunch, it's a hope. And the riverbend talks of the waters of March. It's the end of the strain, the joy in your heart. The foot, the ground, the flesh and the bone. The beat at the road, a slingshot stone. A fish of flesh, a silvery glow. A fight, a bet, the range of a bow. The whale, the end of a line. The smile on the face, it's a loss, it's a bang. A spear, a spike, a point, a nail, a trip, a trap. The end of a tale, a truckload of bricks. In the soft morning light, the shot of a gun. In the dead of the night, a mile, a must. A thrust, a bump, it's a girl, it's a rhyme. It's a cold, it's a mumps. Plan of the house and the body in bed and the car that got stuck. It's the mud, a float, a drift, a flight, a wing, a hawk, a quail. The promise of spring and the riverbend talks of the waters of March. It's the promise of life, the joy in your heart. It's the promise of life.
You know, just as a side note, I've always wondered this about singers from Great Britain. And I've often been asked it as if I would know, which I certainly don't. When you sing, there's no accent. When you speak, there is an accent. And no different for you, John Lennon, Phil Collins. I mean, it's always the same. You don't hear the British accent when people sing. You don't hear a Welsh or Scottish accent. You just hear straight, I guess, I don't know, almost an American accent.
I know, it's funny. I think probably we were so, I know for me, so influenced by some of the American singers. Maybe it's working in bands where I did so many covers, you know, I just kind of took on that American accent. It's so funny because we have this laugh at home all the time. My son will say to me, you know, my son is an American when he's at school, but when he's with us, he's a Brit. And he doesn't even know he's doing it. And he always laughs at me because he says, "Mum, speak with an American accent." And I'm appalling. It's terrible. But I can sing. But I can sing with an American accent. And so, you know, my normal accent, I most Brits that I know that have moved over here still have their accent. But it's when we go into that song, I think it's our influences, you know, music over the years. And just got into this habit now of singing with an American accent. Although I think a lot of new English artists that are emerging, they like to keep their British accent when they're singing.
Gonna make more jazz albums?
One never knows. I'm up for anything that inspires me. Do you know what I mean? If somebody came along and said, "Oh, I'd like you to do this record with so and so," and if it's something that I think that I would love, and I would definitely do more.
I wondered if it was just one of your many turns or if it was a new direction for you.
Yes, it's always, you know, it's interesting because we're going to do something with the record, the anniversary next year. Now, up until then, we're going to release all these kind of pop songs that I've collaborated with other people over the last couple of years. We're going to release those. So I just feel whatever's good for the moment, you know, and I love writing. I've got like a bunch of brand new dark piano vocal songs that are recorded so much better than I did when I did Be Still. But I'll probably release a bunch of those. You know what I mean? I'm just going to go with whatever's coming to me at this moment in time and see where it goes.
Keep it organic.
Yes.
And keep it coming. Although I have to say, it sounds like you were born to the jazz thing. You're very good at it.
Oh, thanks. That's a lovely compliment.
Well, another thing you're very good at is photography.
It is my hobby, yes.
You have this very interesting project. It is nature photography coupled with some of your lyrics.
That's right.
Tell us about that. How did that come about?
Well, I've always loved photography. I mean, for many, many years, I would set my camera up and just take photographs at certain times of the day. And I just love imagery. And I think it really helps with my songwriting, too. And then, you know, living here, I mean, we're very lucky to live in the Hudson Valley.
Beautiful
and
area.
And we're extremely lucky. And so, you know, when I do my walks every day, it's just, and they're simple images, but they look so different in every season. And they're so, I don't know, they inspire me. And they're so, I think I love ethereal photographs. And then I love to tinker with it. The beauty of apps now with different textures and what you can do with your photographs. I've really enjoyed doing that. And then a few people were writing in to me saying, oh, I love your photographs, can you do a book? And then I thought, maybe I'll just release a few prints of mine with my handwritten lyrics from certain songs. And I just completed for a couple of friends of mine for their birthdays, which turned out really well. I'd love to sell them, but I just think they're too expensive people to buy because they're pricey to actually get printed. But I made these beautiful moleskin journals, and so there's so many blank pages, and then there's a certain image with that's related to a song lyric that's actually come out so gorgeous. I have to say it's a beautiful printed book. So it's a hobby of mine, and some people, you know, are interested in having the prints, and they love it, and that's great.
That's fantastic.
See where it goes.
And by the way, you mentioned your birthday, I believe. That's tomorrow, right?
It's tomorrow, yes.
Yeah. August 6th. Happy birthday.
August 6th. Thank you so much. It'll be an interesting day, probably at home.
Oh, everybody's been gypped out of their big birthdays. Some people had their 60th, 50th, 30th, or high school graduations or whatever. Everyone's been gypped out of their their joy by this terrible coronavirus, which, frankly, I'm just sick of.
I know.
It's getting old.
It really is. And I think, you know, wearing these bloody masks, I mean, I know we're being super cautious
and careful,
which is good. You have to, but
yep.
Oh my gosh, it's like after a while, I just don't know how people can do this day in, day out. Like, I know when they're wanting to try and get the schools open, and for kids to sit in a classroom with a mask on for 6 hours, I just can't imagine it. No.
It's hard enough for an adult to do it.
Yes, yeah.
And some people made the best of their time during the coronavirus. It sounds like you were one of those people. You actually continued working in the form of kind of a remote project with David Barron.
Yes.
Tell us a little about that, if you would.
Well, of course, he produced all the Queentown songs that we'll be talking about soon. And he's so talented. And of course, because he's a big string arranger, he loves to write for strings. And we've done two things. We did Bad, Bad Love together, an original piece, just strings and vocals. Then we did the Kate Bush cover, Running Up That Hill, just strings and vocal, which we're both so proud of that one because he did a killer string arrangement on that. It's amazing. And then during the COVID time, we were chatting on the phone and we were saying, let's just do something together. Like, we've both got a studio. So he sent me this beautiful felt piano that he'd recorded. At the time, I think I FaceTime my parents every single day. They're in Wales and all our family are back in England and Wales. The lyrics came to be about that relationship with my family, because normally now I'd be going home back there, you know, for a month during the summer to see them all, and we're not doing that, of course. The whole song is about we're all in our little caves, but we're in nature, and it was hearing my mum's words. It was being able to see them every day, but we couldn't touch them, and that was what the song is about. It's all about those communication things that we're missing, touching, hugging people. But the main thing was seeing them every day. I just felt good knowing that they were safe. I came up with the lyric and the vocal. I recorded my vocals, sent it to David. He did a mix, and so we just put it out there for people to listen to. And I think now he's gonna release it. He's just had a 40-piece string orchestra,
unbelievable,
play on it, and it's absolutely gorgeous. That's another thing. It's another thing for me. It's a beautiful thing for me to be writing songs with strings. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love that. So that's another thing, is I'd love to do more of that.
And a lot of great artists are starting to do that. Peter Gabriel, Sting, they're actually touring, going out and touring that way.
I know. That's one of my dreams, is to be able to do a bunch of these songs with a string orchestra. It would be fantastic.
Knowing you, you'll do it.
Keep fingers crossed. Let's hope.
Can we listen to this song? I believe it's called Stones in the Riverbed.
Yes.
I would love to play it. We'd be honored to have it on the show.
Absolutely.
Well, listen to this. This is magic. We just ask and it magically appears. This is new Donna Lewis music, and David Barron,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, and David Barron, both of us together, yes.
Take a listen.
I'm in a cave within a cave. I dissolve into the darkness. You came into my dream. I see your stillness through the mountain mist. A cold clearness. I feel the green blades between my fingers as I shut out the weeping face of the world in your holy word. They're like water, like stones in the riverbed. They lead me to you. Lost in the music, a vanishing bowens my mind open. It's a place to start. I feel the green blades between my fingers as I shut out the weeping face of the world in your holy words. They're like water, like stones in the riverbed. They lead me to you. What's it all about? What's it all about? Across the ocean, I feel you, and I dream of you in the weeping face of the world, in your holy words. Like stones in the riverbed, they lead me to you. Who hold each other close so I can see you. I can see you. I can see you smile. Hold each other close, 'cause I can feel you. I can touch you. But I can see you. To know that you're safe, yeah. So I need. So I need.
Very nice, Donna. This has been wonderful, just sitting here having a chat. You were so gracious to come over here and do it. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I mean, the clubhouse is always a joy to come here. And
feels like home.
It does. I love this place. And also, thank you for a beautiful interview. It's just so nice to talk to somebody who really loves music and you appreciate it. And so thank you for the time researching me.
Well, that's my pleasure. That's my pleasure. And I'm looking forward to doing the Queenstown interview and speaking to you more.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Donna. You're listening to The Rick Z Show. I'm your host, Rick Z, produced and engineered every week by Rusty Johnson. And hey, thanks to Paul Antonell and Clubhouse Studios for hosting us this evening. We love subscribers, people, so click away. Click, click, click. We love it. We can't get enough. Come back next week, and I promise we'll have another exciting episode of The Rick Z Show. And we'll see you then.